So I'd like to end with a couple of slides that that are sort of given an idea of what would be needed if we are to establish these non-target testing capacities in various developing countries. And one of them, of course, is that they need to be supported probably by donor agencies to get them going. And this is not necessarily an unreasonable thing to ask. A lot of donor agencies these days are providing a lot of money into DNA detection laboratories, which I think are less useful than, for example, laboratories that could do this kind of testing. But of course, the testing needs to be done in conjunction with capacity building to apply a tiered approach. And of course, with respect to policy, there's a harmonization of approach that needs to be implemented worldwide. And there are countries such as the Philippines that are already along this path. For example, the work that they're doing to assess non-target effects on one particular butterfly of interest is taking this tiered approach. First of all, the choice of this species as one of interest is one that has some good regulatory reasons as well as good ecological reasons. But the first thing that is being done is to establish the hazard to this non-target through lab studies, and only if a hazard is identified will higher tier tests be done. And finally, as we've already heard before, again with if we're to make the testing protocols applicable worldwide, then of course standardization of protocols, species, and data quality are necessary, as well as the recognition of the transferability of data from lab studies that transferability from one geography or one ecology to the other. So these are just my observations, as I said, of what may be needed, particularly to implement and to include developing countries in a system where non-target testing using laboratory studies is a major part of the decision-making process. In our experience, the question is, were the South African authorities considering their experience with other pesticides? Is that the question? Yeah. So they typically, at least in our experience, have not attempted to draw the comparison between with the current pesticide situation and the potential benefits that a BT crop might give, and in fact I think that generally this cost benefit approach hasn't been obvious in the South African decision making process. I think in general the previous packages that have been put together and have been approved in South Africa for corn and cotton have made the authorities there more comfortable with approving subsequent corn and cotton events with the same protein in them, but a new crop, for example, is a bit more problematic, and particularly a new crop with another cryprotein even though it's a similar class as to the previous ones. It's it is a novel one. I can't really say that. I just think that there was just a general lack of systematic problem formulation in order to address what are the actual species that are of concern and what should be tested, and therefore the default was look at everything.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk about ladybird beetle test systems. Our lab at Pioneer in the insectary has reared a ladybird species, Coleomegilla maculata, for about 6 years now. And I have to say, we just love this insect. It's great to rear. I see a person in the back of the room, Rachel, who was instrumental in getting our colony established many years ago. But it's a great organism to work with. And also, not only in bioassay is it really robust, but it's found a very happy home in the colony, in the laboratory. It's easy to rear as well. And so the talk listed in the program was going to focus around C. maculata, but I thought we'd take a step back just for a second and look at some of the other species that have been used regularly in environmental hazard testing, and specifically in a GLP environment. And that'll help us focus the discussion really around three species. A quick outline today. We're going to talk about the suitability of ladybird beetles for laboratory testing, what are the available species, available test systems, and specific examples of Tier 1 and Tier 2 studies. I guess I'll throw my disclaimer in here. I can't cover all the possible lab systems that have been developed because we have a really short amount of time today, nor can I cover all of the species, but we'll do our best to cover as much as we can. So I probably don't have to work too hard to convince most people in this room that ladybird beetles are great representative test organisms. They represent a large and diverse family of predatory beetles, and most have global distribution, very common in most agricultural settings, and they are important biological control agents, both in their larval and adult stages. And importantly as well is that they do occur in the same taxonomic order as one of our PIP targets, and that's referencing specifically the BT maize products for control of western corn rootworm. Now, when we think about harmonizing test protocols, you know, the best case scenario is we can come up with a list of species that have really wide geographic distributions, because that way you can kind of satisfy a lot of people at once. And so what I did was I took these three species that have been used for environmental safety testing, and I went out to the CABI databases, and just out of curiosity, I wanted to know how wide was their distribution globally, and they have a lot of, it's a nice reference through the public literature that talks about the distribution of these species. And you can see that Coccinella septem punctata, which is a really common species in Europe, is pretty much ubiquitously distributed across the globe, and that's really appealing. The next species is Hippodamia convergens, and its distribution is a little choppier than septem punctata, but you can see it's still pretty well represented in most of the geographies around the globe. It's a very common species in North America as well. And then lastly, isn't it just my luck that the one that I think is probably the easiest to rear in the laboratory is the one that has the least amount of distribution in the world? But certainly C. maculata is well represented in the Americas. It looks like it's been introduced perhaps into Eastern Europe, Serbia, Montenegro area. There was a reference for it occurring in Japan. But it has many other endearing qualities. Unlike the previous two species, whose diet seemed very tightly linked to aphids, Coleomegilla maculata is a bit of a garbage hound, and it does very, very well on lots and lots of different diets. So when we think about test systems for these species, I think all three of these are quite amenable to an adult exposure, and we can summarize that very quickly, and most of the time how that happens is you would administer your protein through a sucrose solution to cohorts of adults, and then you would monitor for mortality. But most of our PIPs, of course, are larval actives, and so the more relevant life stage perhaps to be testing is the larvae. And so I have identified a couple of larval assays that have been run under GLP, and Alan actually covered the first one fairly well in the first half of the session. I've never actually worked with this species before, but just some bullet points about the assay itself. They start with second instars, and it's a tier one study, so they're administering purified proteins. And it's ministered by dipping the aphids into the protein and administering those aphids into the to the test organisms. And that happens through larval development. They pupate, and then the feeding continues for 2 weeks into the adult stage. And the endpoints are, of course, developmental rates and resulting mortality, if there is any. The tier one assay that I have a lot more experience with in our laboratory is with C. maculata. And this follows kind of a more traditional bioassay screening approach. We use neonates in this assay, and if you're familiar with C. maculata, they lay their eggs in little clusters, and the larvae will hatch, and they'll feed on their corians, and then they'll disperse, and that takes a matter of hours.